Thank the Lord for the opportunity to be at Guthrie again and be with you. I'm thankful that God did not leave us clueless as to what we are supposed to be doing in this time that we live in. And my little message today is the Lord has given it to me in the form of a checklist. And so I'd like to just give it to you in that way, because that's how the Lord seemed to bless it to me. And thinking about the time that we live in and how it is the end of time. And we studied about it some in our service on Wednesday night here. Some of the same scriptures that we read the other night I'd like to refer to, especially in Matthew 24. I'd like to begin there. I believe it was Sister Rosie that said Wednesday night that God won't leave us to not know what to do. He'll show us what we're supposed to do to be ready for these times. And I really believe that. I really believe that if we'll listen to God, He will help us to know even specific things. Like she mentioned, you know, should we store up food or, you know. And I've had those same thoughts. I've had, Lord, you know, what really specifically are we supposed to be doing to prepare for the time that we're living in? And I'd like to read here in Matthew 24. It says in verse 10, "And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Now what is a recurring word in the first three verses that I read? A word that is in each of those verses except for the last, many. Let's do this. Many, what's the first many? Many shall be offended. Now, this is the spiritual climate in which we are living. This is how we're having to do warfare in a time where many people are being offended. Jesus said it's necessary because of the nature of things, of the nature of the gospel being an offense to the flesh, because people being who they are, we have likes and dislikes. He said a man's enemies would be those people even in his own household. The word, he said, would be an offense to people because of the persecutions that arise and from the word. He said many will be offended. So that's going to be one of the things, and I believe it is one of the things that we can identify now in the time that we live in right now. Many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Now, we're certainly living in that kind of a time where there are many false prophets and many people are being deceived. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So in that spiritual environment, we are facing the end of time. We're just about to the time where Jesus is going to come. He wants to have us doing certain things, and that's what I want to speak to us today about, the things that the Lord brought to my mind. It says that he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. The first thing that has come to my mind is that he wants us to endure, and this word endure, it implies that we're going to have things to go through. We're going to have things to last through. We're going to have things to suffer. We're going to have tribulation. That word tribulation means pressure. We're going to be under lots of pressure in these end times. We're going to endure a great fight of afflictions. We're going to have to endure, and this may be something you'd think, well, if you really love the Lord, you won't have to just endure this. But he said we would come to a time where many people would not endure sound doctrine. So we're going to need to be enduring, listening to ministers who are going to be faithful to us, and it's not going to be appealing to our flesh. It's going to be a little bit hard at times to hear the message, the true gospel message, when everything else looks like it's easier, it's better, it's more glamorous, it's more appealing, there's more to it, more going on. And here, his people are having to endure sound doctrine. Now, that's just quite a thought, but I think about this. Moses' family, they endured hearing a very unpopular message. And they had to go through year after year after year of being faithful and true to a mission that was preposterous, that just looked like it was stupidity. And I've wondered this, and I've probably expressed it before, but I've wondered if people took the thought, well, okay, so there's going to be a flood, but I don't want to be on an ark with all those, with what are you building all these rooms for? Animals. I don't think I want to travel with animals. I think me and my group over here, we're going to build a luxury liner, and we're going to have something. If we're going to have a flood, we're going to prepare for it in our way. Now, the Bible doesn't say that they did that, but just suppose that people, being the way they are today, said, we'll go our own way. We'll build our own boat. We're not going to build the way y'all. And it took some enduring for Noah and his family to keep on building the way the Lord wanted them to build. That was, and then to look at it as it came right down to the end, you mean we're not going to save very many? You mean you all aren't going to believe us? Nobody's coming. Nobody but us is coming on the boat? Is this really? God, did you really tell us to do it this way? Why aren't there more people? Can't people see? That was a time of enduring for Noah and his family. And I think about other times in history, in biblical history, where people had to go it alone. They had to endure. Moses had to endure some things, didn't he? He had to endure that's a whole other message. Anyway, I'd like to just speak to us about that need. That's the thing that we're going to be doing in these last days, or enduring. And during that time of enduring, the Lord wants us not only to just be watching, to be waiting and enduring and just holding on, but look here in Luke 19. I find that preparing for a delay is probably the most important thing that we're doing, is going through a time of delay. It's the time of delay that gets people every time. When something doesn't occur when you think it should happen, what happens to you? You get disappointed, you get casual about it, you get where you're not really watching, you get reckless, you get careless. Let's think about that, but let me read here Luke 19 and 13. He called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said to them, occupy till I come. Now here's, if you're making this little checklist today, here's what I would have you to put up on it. The second thing, occupy. And this word occupy, it means to keep busy. to do business with. Take what you have and multiply it. Do you have Bible knowledge? Don't just be content with, well, I know the scriptures, I know truth. What did he say there in second Peter, the first chapter? Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. We are to be doing business with what we have, increasing it. If you know Jesus today, get to know him better. Be working diligently to grow your faith, grow your knowledge in the Lord. Do you have something that the Lord has given you to do? Then be about that. Be about the business the Lord has given us to do. Occupy, not just kill time, not just bide time, but buy up time. Make opportunities. Do you have opportunity to deal with people? Then make more opportunities. We can do that by being kind, by reaching out, by seeking. We can make opportunities that we wouldn't have ordinarily, but we must buy those things. We must increase those opportunities that we have. Your soul is saved, but how about someone else? Can you do business with salvation that God has given you to increase it one more, and then see if you can do one more, and then another? Let's not be satisfied with, well, you know, I'm saved. I'm just holding on here. But occupy. Take the gospel message that we've been given and begin to reach it wherever we can reach it. However, somebody said, how was it they said, be sure and share the gospel message and sometimes use words. Or there's something I can't get quite. But anyway, what it means is the most important thing is to live the gospel message. But do business with it until I come, he said. And I'm thinking then in Luke 21. I've got that. Luke chapter 12, excuse me. In verse 35, he said, Luke chapter 12, verse 35, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. So what are the three things that he says to do here? We're to be watching, and we're also to have our loins girt about and have our lights burning. Now that brings to mind different things for me. When I think about having your loins girt about, think about having a discipline in our lives where we're not loose in our lives. We're not living casually, but we have ourselves girded about. And what is the thing that we are supposed to gird ourselves with? Ephesians 6, have your loins girt about with truth. So here we are to have our loins girt about, have a discipline, the discipline of the gospel, the truth, in our lives, instead of getting loose. So here's the tendency at the end of time is going to be for people to get loose in their lives. this is the spiritual atmosphere that we live in, is that people are loosening up. Instead of tightening up the loins with truth, they're loosening up. We can see that all around. People are getting more casual about religion. It's becoming, just hang out. And that's the attitude that so many people have about spiritual things. That's not what he's saying here. He says you have your loins girded about. You're ready. You're not going to bed. You're not going to sleep here. You're staying dressed. You're staying ready. I think that the way I understand it about this girding was that when they were lounging or sleeping or whatever, they took that off, and it kind of their garments kind of hung to the floor. But in order to walk and to work and to do business, they would take this sash and they would gird things up so that they didn't trip over their clothes. Well, that's gives us a pretty good thought about we're not sleeping. We're to be working. We're to be having our loins girt. And then he said, have your lights burning. And that makes us, of course, think about the virgins who had, all of them had lights at the beginning. And what caught them? It was the delay. They didn't, the ones who didn't purchase more oil in a vessel were caught by the delay. Their lights went out, and they had no supply of oil. So, in order for us to have our lights burning, we're going to have to be doing something, and that is we're going to need to buy oil. We're going to need to go to the source and get the oil. Pay the price. What is that price? That price is, I believe, that price is all of ourselves. Just giving the Lord our all. When we give the Lord our all, He fills us with His all. It's just as simple as that. And that oil is what we need to make it through the time of delay. If we don't have a life really filled with the Spirit, this is going to get us. Your light will go out in this atmosphere in which we live. You'll get loose. You may be deceived. You might get offended. Your love may wax cold. Because, see, many people, this is happening to many people. So this is the checklist, how to keep from this happening to us. Have your loins girt about. Have your light burning. I found something else interesting in the Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. Here's a few things that he said to be watchful for and to do at the end of time. 1 Peter 4 and 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. This word sober, it means have a sound mind. Live in reality. What is the reality? The reality is we're closer than we've ever been before. The reality is that many have been called, but few are going to make it. If you were to approach the things in your physical life the way that many people approach being ready to meet the Lord, if you would take exactly that same approach with your business, with raising children, if you were playing a game, let's say you were playing a game of softball with your friends, if you would take the same unprepared, careless, reckless approach to playing a game, will you win? Would you win Monopoly if you were playing with, I just want to finish. I don't care if he beats me. Here, have all my stuff. You know, that's how I play Monopoly. I just want to get out of there. So just whatever. But I've got children that play to kill. You know, they play to win. And I'm happy to let them win. But what if I took that same approach to my spiritual life? And that's how I approach the end of time. Okay. You know, we're going to all be all right. That's not how we're supposed to do this. Be sober. Have a mind on you that understands the environment that I'm living in, how many people are falling. It could happen to me. If I don't watch and pray and be sober and think straight, I could be deceived. This is the danger of our time. I could get loose. In fact, I'm tempted every day to get loose. What I mean is loosen up my hold on the Lord and relax in my discipline of my life. That sleepiness, that lethargy, that apathy, it's all around us. If you took that approach to your business, would you make a profit at the end of the year? You probably wouldn't. I know people who take that approach to business. They just always can't seem to make it. But if you go and prepare for the end of time like this, I believe we'll make it. Watch unto prayer. I've wondered about how that is. There's several places talks about watch and pray. This says watch unto prayer. Ephesians 6 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So there's a very great connection here with my awareness to danger and what could happen to me, and my alertness as to the signs. How close is he? It's getting pretty close, isn't it? And just being aware, having an awareness, and at the same time having a real earnest prayer in my heart. Lord, help me here, Lord. Lord, help me not be deceived. Dear God, direct my feet here. Lord, don't let me fall here. Now, Lord, gird me up here. It's just like you're living in the spirit of prayer. You're living, well, like the guys that God chose to serve Gideon. They got down to drink, but they were like, yeah, they were watching and drinking at the same time. And that's the men that God said, those are the soldiers that you need. And there weren't very many of them that were that watchful. And then he says, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Now this is, remember what we read, many people are going to be offended and are going to hate one another and betray one another and be deceived by false prophets. How are we going to last through all that? This is the way. You love one another with a pure heart fervently, one scripture says. Have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. I've read a scripture over here in Revelations 2, Revelations also, in chapter 16. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth. Here we have that again. It's in several of the places that we have read. In Matthew 24, in Luke 19, in Luke 12, it's again in Luke 21. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. Now, a while ago we talked about having your loins girt about. And if you didn't, you would step on your robe while you were trying to do work. But we also have other threats against our garment. What is our garment? What is the garment that we're supposed to have? Garment of praise. Be clothed with humility. The righteousness of saints. So all of these things are under threat. Somebody is trying to get your coat. Okay? Someone's trying to grab your garment, or you might be tripping and tearing holes in your garment. What is it that's pure religion? People who visit the fatherless and widows and do else. What else? Keep unspotted from the world. And Jude, he told us to hate what? Even the garment that is spotted by the flesh. So this gives us an idea about these. Keep your garments. Keep them white. Keep them unspotted. Keep them from being torn off of you. Keep it from tripping on them. Gird up. It's what the Lord is telling us here. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Now, on this to-do list, I have just a couple more things in Luke 21. And I think this is one of the most important that I take to heart. Luke 21 and verse 28. And when these things begin to come to pass, then, what does it say? Look up. That is how we're going to make it through this end time. Is if we can keep looking up. Look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. We don't have to be offended. When you're offended, what happens to you when you come to service or when you look at it? You're doing this, aren't you? Your head is down. You get down when you get offended. But when you're not offended and you're enduring anything that would come try to offend you, you just endure through it, you last through it, you keep your head up. Don't look down. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Look up and lift up your head. So we have quite a little checklist here of things that we need to be doing. Let's go over them right quick, just briefly. We need to be enduring. We need to be doing business. Occupy. We need to be patient, which goes along with enduring. Patient through the delay. Patient through the failures. Patient through the obstacles. We need to have our loins girt about and our lights burning, which implies we also need to have oil. We need to watch and wait. And have fervent charity, and be sober, and keep your garments. Look up and lift up your heads. Then there's something that I found in Luke chapter 19. Let's see, no. Luke chapter 12. Now this might be a don't checklist. Something that's on the side of don't do these things. In verse 41, Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or even to all? When he was talking about having your loins girt about, your lights burning and watching. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household? To give them their portion of meat in due season. Now when I read that, I really think of those that he's called to feed the flock. He's given us portions of meat to give to people. So I take notice here. But really, everybody's that way. He's given you something. Only you can give the word of God to those people in your sphere of influence. Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, Remember, I said, it's the delay that'll get us. And here's what happens to people when we get in the time of delay. Here's one of the dangers. He'll begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken. Now these are the dangers of the age, of many being offended and many being deceived, and the love of many people waxing cold. Here is the danger. The danger is to begin to beat one another, to beat up on one another, to get at odds with one another. That's a real danger of our age. Talking about fellow servants, fellow workers. The danger is for us to begin conflicts in this time. So Lord, help us that we'll have that fervent charity that covers faults and failings, and have a real clothing of humility, and not be beating each other up. And then what's the other danger here? To eat and drink and be drunken. Remember what he said in Ephesians 5. He said, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Be not unwise as fools, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. I believe he also said in that place, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So, I think I probably got all that all mixed up. Redeeming the time, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, if we're not filled with the Spirit, then the by default, we'll be filled with other things. It'll just happen. Our lives will just be filled, and we'll be drunk. There's many things that people are drunk on today. And Brother Doug spoke last week during the meeting that those things that intoxicate you spiritually, they keep you off balance. You can't stand. You don't have balance. Lots of things making people drunk today. That's a whole nother message. But mainly it's when we begin to live to please our flesh. All of the sensual pleasures of the age, they make us drunk. We're not filled with the Spirit because we are so drunk on those things. That's the danger, that he doesn't want us to partake of being eating and drinking fleshly pursuits. He's not saying here you can't eat a good meal, that you can't sit down and enjoy your family dinner and eat together. But he's talking about the kind of eating and drinking that is of the flesh. And that's what we have very much today in our world. What happens to that person who does all that? It says the Lord of that servant, verse 46, will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Now, I believe that what we just read in Ephesians, that if we're filled with the Spirit, just like Sister Rosie said Wednesday night, the Spirit will keep us alert and aware that either our time is short for us individually, the Lord can begin to keep us ready at a moment's notice. He begins to deal with us. He begins to alert us. There begin to be stirrings in our hearts. I believe that. I believe that the Holy Spirit can guide us and help us to know you're fixing to face the Lord. It doesn't have to catch you unawares. If we'll live filled with the Spirit, we can understand what the will of the Lord is. But if we don't live that way, there's a lot of things that we're going to miss, and our understanding of our final appointment is going to be real unclear to us. We're going to miss knowing about it. In Luke 21, now he says something similar to this. Verse 34. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness. So these two must really be a danger, because Jesus has mentioned it twice here. I don't believe that it's just the same spot that he was talking and two different evangelists wrote the same thing down. It looks like to me that these were two different occasions. Surfeiting or overeating and drunkenness. That can overcharge the heart, and what happens? The cares of this life also, he says. And that day comes on us unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Pray ye, watch ye therefore, and pray always that ye may be able, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. That is such a warning to us how important it is to stay away from those three things: overeating, drunkenness, and being overcharged by the cares of this life. Now, he said, you know, we had the scripture about warning us not to fight with each other. And we had the scripture that fervent charity, we needed fervent charity. Now in James, there's one also. James chapter 5. There's a couple scriptures here that tell us to be patient unto the coming of the Lord, which is part of that enduring unto the end. Verse 7, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. In verse 8, be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Now, here's something that he told us not to do. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. And the word that I have on the margin here, the Revised Version, it says, murmur not, brethren, one against another. So that can be that's a real danger for us, especially in a time where many people are being offended and many people are being deceived. And many people are letting their love grow cold little by little. Here's what will help us. Let's not ever get to where we're murmuring and holding grudges against each other. Complaining, griping against one another. Time is real short. A little incident comes to my mind. I'm going to share this, and I may have shared this before, but it's about the time when we had Mother, Danny's mother, at our home, the day before she died. That day, Mother told me, she said, I want to help you. I want to clean your bathroom. And then let's go shopping. So I said, okay. And so she got to work on the sink and the other things in the bathroom. And I said, Mother, I don't want you down on your knees and trying to clean the floor and stuff. I'll take care of the floor. So she got the dishes done, and she got to going in the bathroom. And so I went in and I got the dark green rug and rolled it up and took it outside, and I was cleaning it, shaking it, and it was covered with her white hair. And you know what? A little rankle, a little ugly thing came up in my heart. And I'm just going to be honest with you. This is embarrassing, but this is what I thought for just a moment. I thought, why didn't she clean up her hair when she combs her hair? Get all this white hair. You know, I was taught to clean your floor when you comb your hair. My mother, you know, she cleans the bathroom every time she... And I was taught that. And I was like, I wish Mother would... And immediately, the Holy Spirit came to me, and He took all of that murmuring away, and He filled me with a love for Mother. And I went right back in with that green rug. I got all cleaned up. I went in, and I just threw my arms around Mother, and I kissed her. Kissed that sweet, soft cheek. And she said, well, I'm done. Let's go shopping. And so we went shopping, and we had a wonderful time. Did you know that was the last kiss I ever gave Mother? Because usually I kissed her at night, and when she said, all right, I'm going to bed, I always tried to make it a point to hug her and kiss her. But that night, we were sitting at all of us in the living room, and so she finally got up and got her ice water and said, well, I'm going to bed. And we just sat there. And we said, well, good night, Mother. And I didn't get up and kiss her, but I had kissed her that day. And we just sat there, and we said, well, good night, have a good night. Those are the last words we ever spoke to her. And then it just hit me later. It hit me later about that rug. When I went into the bathroom the next morning, that rug was clean. Mother never combed her hair on that rug again. Now, if I had murmured, I don't know if I would have been able to live with it. I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit, how He came and He took that gripe right before it could be uttered, and gave me that last opportunity to kiss Mother. But we don't know, you know, that was death that came. But one of these days, how is the end of time going to find you? Will it find us griping and have been saying things about one another, and we left one another maybe in a not so good a relationship. We've got hurts and offenses, and we've been grudging. Lord, help us. See how dangerous it is, as we never know. Grudge not, murmur not, lest that you be not judged. Another thing that He wants us to not do, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. He says, let us not be weary in well-doing. Now, I'm sure that Noah and his family got really tired of that chore. It dragged on. You get to griping when things drag on and drag on. It's the delay that gets us, dear ones. It's what we're in right now. The Lord was supposed to have come already, you know, and He's not come yet. And that's what's getting people, is that it's holding on and holding on. Don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Oh, those words in the Scripture, if it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And Jesus said, shall not God avenge His own elect who cry day and night after Him, though He bear long with them? I tell you, He shall avenge them speedily. And at the beginning of that chapter, He said He spoke this parable that men ought always to pray and not faint. So these are the two things He doesn't want us to do. He doesn't want us to faint, and He doesn't want us to be weary. And these are the temptations we have right here at the end of time, to get tired of doing right, to think, oh, is there any use in us being so diligent to do the right thing? Is there any use to it? I want to tell you what Mother said. Again, I'll refer to her. I was talking to her as we went shopping that day. I said, Mother, you know, there was a certain thing that she had a little battle with, but after she really got saved, it was like it just disappeared. And I said, Mother, that really used to trip you up. Does that not bother you anymore? And she just looked at me and she said, I look at it this way. I'm going to heaven, and I'm not letting anything get in my way. And I thought, well, that put that in that its perspective. It was just a little thing that people quibble over, and it kind of hung Mother up. But, hey, when she decided that, it just all disappeared. I'm going to heaven, and I'm not letting anything get in my way. So we don't want to faint at well-doing. Let's look up and lift up our heads and not faint. That word faint in the scripture, you know what it means? It means you've had hold, that you've had real good hold. And the word faint means to relax your hold. So, what does he say? Lay hold on eternal life, right? And if you're going to faint, that means you're relaxing your hold on eternal life. We don't want to do that. We don't want to faint. We don't want to be weary in well-doing, because it is coming. We will be rewarded. We will see the Lord and to hear Him say, well done, if we don't faint, if we don't be weary. And in Hebrews, let me give you one more thing to not do. Hebrews chapter 10. Now remember, he said, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. In another place, or another apostle said it like this, where Jesus said, Luke 10:19, in your patience you possess ye your souls. So your salvation is going to hinge upon how you can endure and be patient unto the coming of the Lord. Now this one says in verse 38, Hebrews 10:37. Oh, let's go on up to 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Remember that this means this. If any man slink away and hide through fear. That's what it means to draw back, to slink away and hide through fear. If any man does that, he said, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We are not the cowards, but the courageous. That's what I read in the Greek. It means we are not of the cowards, but we are of the courageous who believe to the saving, for we last, we endure, we have patience unto the saving of the soul, to that he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. So don't draw back. Don't be a coward. Don't slink away and hide. But face, what did he say in the song that we sang today? Boldly face the foe, or something like that. Now, I was thinking of something else. When you're getting ready to go on a trip, there are things that I do and there are things that I don't do. And then there are things that I have to go and buy when you're going on a trip. And we've already talked about him, so let's just kind of go through him just a little bit, where he said, what did he say to the ladies that needed oil? He said, you go buy from those who have the oil. So that's one thing that we need to put on our list. You need to buy oil. And then I think about how that he said, in Luke, again in chapter 12, where we got that about the loins being girt about. He said in verse 33, "Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old." Bags? I was just thinking about what is he saying? You need a bag? In order to have, you need, okay, we've got to get the real meaning of this. Provide, you need a container. You need an experience that can hold something eternal and valuable. They talked about old wineskins that couldn't hold the wine. But salvation is like having a new bag, a new container. You need to sell everything that would keep you from having an experience that can hold the love in your heart for God, that can hold the oil, that can hold eternal treasures. This is spiritual language here. You need holdings. You need eternal holdings. You need a retirement account. Eternal retirement account. He said, you provide that for yourself. Another thing that I thought about was over in Revelations when he said, you don't realize that you're naked and you need clothing. So he said, I counsel you to buy. You need to buy gold, he said. Tried in the fire. This is Revelations 3 and 18. I counsel you to buy gold, white raiment, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, that thou mayest be clothed. And he said, anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And I thought about that in the context of many being deceived and many being offended, and how we need to have a vision of truth. Down here at the end, we need to be able to see clearly. So he's saying, this is what you need on your list. You need to have oil. You need to have pure gold. I don't know, what would that be? Faith? Sister Nelda said, faith that endures. Right. We need a steadfast faith that endures to the end. And then these white garments. And we need a container to hold eternal goods in. And we need eye salve. All of these things are on the list. And I think about another scripture in the Word where he said, buy the truth and don't sell it. And I thought about that in different ways. There are people today that are selling the truth for all kinds of things. And I thought about just coming up to the end and the Lord asking, what did you sell the truth for? What do you have to show? You've got this and you sold truth for it. You've got this. Would we be proud to show the Lord? I got this. But I sold the truth. But let's not do that. Let's not sell the truth. But let's buy the truth. What is he? You say, well, that's kind of a paradox, because he said, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. He's talking about literal money, literal exchange here. It's a spiritual exchange. And the price is everything you have. To do this, in order for us to buy this gold, I'm just going to have to give everything I've got to the Lord. In order to have the oil, yes. Well, my understanding has always been that it's the Holy Spirit. So we've got oil, we've got eye salve, we have truth, we have gold, we have a good container, a good experience. That's what comes to me about the container. A good experience, a good, honest heart that is able to keep truth and faith and an honest approach, an humble approach to God. So I trust this has been a little lesson today that will help all of us and remember the things that we have said and the way that the Holy Spirit, I believe, just thinking about the different messages in the meeting and also our study Wednesday night, it just seemed to me that the Lord just had this in mind.